Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Look the other way. Look the other way. Four words that sum up the Commonwealth's entire case. Four words that sum up the hopes of those who have tried to deceive you. Conflicts of interest? Doesn't matter. Just look the other way. Magic hairs. Magic glass. Look the other way. Late night calls and Google searches. Falsified affidavits.
Butt dials.
Inverted videos.
Butt dials.
And butt dials galore. Just look the other way.
We knew it was coming.
Emily D. Baker, the internet's go-to entertainment legal analyst, prior L.A. Deputy District Attorney. You can check her out on YouTube, the Emily Show podcast, and the Law Nerd app. They're commenting on the closing arguments there from Karen Reed's attorney, Alan Jackson. We also heard from the prosecution, Adam Lally. You knew they were going to talk about the butt dials, didn't you, right away?
You knew it had to come in. There were a few things we knew we were going to hear in closing, and Alan Jackson had said butt dials so much throughout the trial that I knew he was going to lean into it. It was funny because with Alan Jackson going first and then Adam Lally going second, because a lot of jurisdictions, the prosecution goes first, then the defense, then the prosecution again. It was funny. It was like watching Jackson in trial again when he was still a prosecutor, because his closing very much had that style to it. So it was interesting to see him closing first and really leaning into the story of this case as he sees it for his client.
Emily, good morning, by the way. I have a question for
you. Good morning.
So the jury has the case now. Is there only one outcome, it'll be this or it will be that, or are there many different conclusions they can arrive at? Does that make sense?
There are quite a lot of possibilities. And as we got into jury instructions, they can be kind of hard to listen to if you don't know what you're listening to, and the judge reads them fairly fast and then gives a packet of them to the jurors. But there are three charges against Karen Reed, and then there are two lesser included charges, meaning under the law, this charge has these other two things that are an option also. So she has the third degree murder, which is the intended homicide, the intentional killing, then the operating under the influence causing death. And then that has the two lesser included that the jury can also pick from, which is an involuntary manslaughter, which is kind of a lesser degree of that operating under the influence causing death. And then there's also a vehicular homicide that's under there, or a vehicular murder that's under there.
That's
also a motor vehicle homicide. And then there's the leaving the scene causing death. So there's quite a lot of charges, and they should pick one of them. So it should only be one thing.
Okay. Wow.
Emily, can you kind of, with the jury deliberating today, can you kind of take us behind the scenes of what it might sound like in that room today with them deliberating, what it might be like?
Absolutely. I mean, the judge told them not to take a straw poll vote at the beginning, which you see a lot of jurors do, and then they all agree and they go, oh, I guess we're done now. And so you can see those very quick verdicts. But they haven't been able to talk to each other about the case for 10 weeks. I imagine there is some conversation they want to have. Also, with the length of the trial, even if they do come to a quick verdict, you can see juries wait out of respect for the victim and out of respect for the parties and hold off on giving a verdict. Sometimes you want to see people sleep on it because it is a big decision. And especially if they come to a quicker decision, you can see that. But also, there's a lot of disagreements on the evidence here. We heard it in opening. We heard Adam Lally leading into, I hit him, I hit him. Mm-hmm. And we heard the defense leading back into, they just want you to look the other way. So they probably want to talk about it because they haven't been able to. We do. We've been talking about it for weeks, but they haven't gotten to. So they're really talking about the case, and then they'll generally sit down with the jury instructions and go one by one and start voting. And remember, each of these have four elements, and they have to go through each of those. And some of those have subparts, and they have to go through each of those as well.
Yeah, we were looking it up this morning with the OJ trial. They came back in under 4 hours, and then Judge Ito was like, hang on a second, we're going to make you wait a day before he made the announcement. We have somebody that would like to ask a question. I think it's Corrine from Rockland. Is that right? Good morning.
Good morning, yes.
What's your question for Emily D. Baker?
So my question is, when or if Taryn Reed is found innocent, will the other suspects have a trial and someone be found guilty at some point to be investigated?
So if the jury comes back not guilty, there will be no further legal proceedings criminally for Taryn Reed. But no one else has been identified as a suspect by anyone other than the defense in this case. So there's no charging documents. There's no known investigation into any other individual as the target of this crime, and it will become very difficult because if anyone was ever charged in the future and went to trial, they would point to the Taryn Reed trial as doubt. See, even the investigators thought that it was someone else. So how can you as the jury not think it's someone else? And they won't know the outcome of that trial. So with the federal investigation ongoing, we're still going to see movement with this case, but I don't know if they're looking for who did this or if they're looking for how we got to this outcome of charging Taryn Reed.
I think for me personally, what stood out is how well Alan Jackson presented his defense, his synopsis yesterday.
Carson is very enamored.
He looks like an attorney you see in a movie or on a TV show. It was a script that was written out by the best writers in Hollywood.
Carson wants to scream, "You can't handle the truth!"
and then Lally gets up there and he's fumbling through his words. He's misspeaking. He's having to correct himself. And it just, you know, he's getting bogged down in details that, you know, he's in the tree, in the weeds, whatever you call it. And I was just like, one guy showed me a really big picture and told me a story. And the other guy tried to give me facts. And we say this all the time in our business that, like, facts tell, but stories sell. And I felt like they sold a better story for the defense yesterday.
Absolutely. And Alan Jackson comes from the L.A. District Attorney's Office, highest like level of special units of prosecutors, the major crime prosecutors. They were the ones dealing with the high-profile cases in L.A. It is very high volume. He has done this hundreds of times. And so it's not a surprise to me that we see a very polished presentation. He's been that way in court. And that is consistent with other attorneys that you've seen from that our office in high profile cases. But I thought Adam Lally did a much better job in closing than he did in opening. I just wish we had seen that timeline from him sooner. Mm-hmm. I wish it had gotten pulled together in that way sooner, but it was very noticeable that he didn't talk about when Taryn Reed hit John O'Keefe with the car. There was so much he talked about, very much in the details. And then the judge was telling him, you're out of time, and he hasn't talked about when the victim was supposedly killed. And for a prosecutor, that is almost fatal in a closing argument to not talk about the crime. You're supposed to, in closing, talk about the crime, and then how the defendant committed the crime. And that's not what we saw in that closing argument from him.
You make this so much easier to understand, and I'm grateful. Thank you.
Emily D. Baker.
It's like I've done it a couple times. Thank you.
We got a text from the 617. I'm addicted to EDB coverage on YouTube. Thank you to your appearance on the show. And just tell her how much I love her. I love her live feed and her explanations. Yeah. So again, if you want to find Emily D. Baker online, just get the Law Nerd app. That is great because it'll alert you as to when Emily goes back on, because a lot of times there are breaks, or like right now we're just kind of sitting around and waiting, mm-hmm. and she will know as quick as anybody, and then that app will alert you when you can go to YouTube and check her out. Emily, thank you for coming on the show. We got to cut it a little bit short today. Are we doing a second segment?
I would.
You want to?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we're going to put you on hold for a minute. If you have a question for Emily D. Baker, we do have to do our contest. So if you want to text in your question,
yeah,
or text us at 617-931-1234, and then that way we can get you on with Emily D. Baker after we do the Beach House.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.